A very good afternoon. Welcome to this afternoon's worship service. And this afternoon, I'm preaching on the topic, Be an Andrew, and the text is taken from John chapter 1. Now, the purpose of this sharing is to know who Andrew is, and then we want to see certain aspects of his ministry as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've outlined the message into three simple parts. First of all, we want to see who can share the gospel. Secondly, how to share the gospel. And lastly, what then is to be an Andrew? Now, the first outline, who can share the gospel? Some people say that I do not have the skill to share the gospel. I do not know how. There are others who say, I don't have the gift of the tongue or the gift of speech where I can stand up and then share the gospel to someone. Okay. Now we want to see from the Bible that all of us can share the gospel. Now, but before that, we want to get to know who Andrew is, right? Now, Andrew's name is mentioned 12 times in the New Testament. The synoptic gospel, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, mention his call to be a disciple. So if you read these three gospels, you'll find his name mentioned right in the beginning of the gospels. And they are all about his call to follow Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 13, we are told that Andrew and the rest of the disciple obeyed the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was in the upper room with the rest of the disciples. They were waiting for the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, God, the Lord Jesus told them, you go to Jerusalem, all right, go to this place, and God is going to do a mighty work. Now today you and I know that that thing which happened on that day is known as the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. If you want to study the life of Andrew, John's Gospel gives us the most detail, all right, about his life. And this afternoon we are going to look at three particular passages. The first one is the passage that we have read earlier on, John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. Now let me just quickly go through this passage. Here we are told that John was standing with two of his disciples. Now, the John here refers to John the Baptist. And he had two disciples. In other words, John the Baptist did have disciples. Alright? And at this time, in particular, two of them were with him. And as they were walking, John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus. And then he says, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, this is not the first time he said that. If you read early on in verse 29, he said it. He says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Then, verse 37 of John chapter 1 says that the two disciples heard him speak, that is, John the Baptist, and they followed Jesus. So, we see that the two disciples of John now became the disciples of the Lord Jesus, because they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned around and saw them following, said unto them, what are you all seeking? They says, Master, we want to know where you stay. Then Jesus says, come and see. And they follow him and they saw the place he stayed. And we are told that it was about the 10th hour, means about 10 o'clock in the morning that day. We know it's 10 because the 10th hour is in the context of the Roman timing. So it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. And one of the two disciples which John spake and followed him was Andrew. So we know John the Baptist had that two disciples with him that day, and one of them was Andrew. And then we had another detail here. He was the brother of Simon Peter. Alright? And we know that he's the older brother. In fact, other translation, or other language translation, alright, would tell us very clearly that he is the older brother of Andrew. And the Bible tells us that Andrew findeth his own brother, Simon Peter, and then said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is by interpretation the Christ. Now the word Christ is the word anointed one, which in Hebrew means the Messiah. So Andrew followed Christ, and now he went to seek his own brother, older brother, and says, we have found the man whom we are waiting for, the Messiah. And he brought the brother to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus beheld Simon Peter and says, are you Simon, the son of Jonah? And then he says, your name will be changed to Cephas, a stone. Okay? And the word Peter means a little stone. Alright, Cephas. So in this passage here, we see a few details about Andrew. Alright? And that is, when he found Jesus, he did not keep the found to himself. We are told that he went to tell his brother about the Messiah. He's excited to share, in other words, the gospel, in a sense, to others. Alright? So that was Andrew. I think some of us experience something like that. When we became a Christian, we get very excited, you know, and we tell people about Jesus Christ. But as years go by, it seems that that desire is no longer there. We are not that excited to share the gospel anymore. But I hope that the truth of the gospel, the blessedness of the gospel, will always inspire us to want to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have two disciples of John the Baptist. One is Andrew. Who's the other disciple then? Now, Bible commentators think that he is the Apostle John. And that's why he records in this passage in the Gospel of John. Well, likely it is the case. Alright. Then we want to see another passage about Andrew. And it is found in chapter 6. Now, if you look at chapter 6 verses 5 to 11, let me read to you. It says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the man sit down. And there was much grass in the place, so the man sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. We are very familiar with the story of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, right? Yeah. And we know that having fed 5,000 people, there were fragments of 12 baskets left. But that little detail on top, okay, when Jesus asked Philip how much money they have to buy bread, Philip says, even 200 penny worth will not be sufficient. In other words, we don't have the financial means. So Andrew probably heard the conversation between Philip and the Lord Jesus. And Andrew came and says, I know of a boy. Right? This boy has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But then he made that remark. What are they among so many? Okay. Would you consider that as something faithless? Now, if you and I were Andrew that day, I think we'll say the same thing. Okay. Or even probably we'll not even mention, right, to Jesus and say there's a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Because in the back of our mind, we already had the idea that it is not sufficient. Okay. However, he said, there was a boy with this amount of food. And then Jesus made the people sat down by groups and then fed them. And then there were fragments left. Now, there's something here about Andrew. And we notice that he seems to be very observant. Alright? We were told that there were 5,000 men. Okay? And the language is masculine people, men. In other words, there will be more than 5,000 because there will be women, there will be children, right? Yeah. So, among so many people, Andrew was a very observant person. He looked at all the people, he studied them, and he realized that there's this boy, this lad, right, who had some food with him. Okay? He came prepared, alright, so that he will not miss his meal. And Andrew knew it. So he's very observant. So he led the boy to the Lord Jesus Christ, in that sense. Huh? Now we come to the last passage. I say there are 3 passages which I want to bring it out. And this is the last one. In John chapter 12, verses 20 to 22, let me read these 3 verses. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Now, some interesting detail here. Huh? We have some Greeks who are believers, and they went to see Philip and say, we want to meet up with the Lord Jesus. Yeah. But then Philip did not take them to Jesus. Instead, Philip went to tell Andrew, Andrew, we have a group of these proselytes. All right, Greek converts, probably called proselytes. You know, who wants to see the Lord Jesus? So they both agreed and brought this group of people to the Lord Jesus. Now, I always ask this question: why can't Philip take this group of people directly to Jesus? There must be a reason, right? If you say, "I want to see the minister of this church," you say, come, come, I'll take you to him. Okay? Do you need to say, I'll take you to somebody and somebody will take you to him? You don't really need to. Okay? Now, probably this is what happened. This is my guess. That only Andrew knew where Jesus was. Okay? So again here you see that Andrew was good in details. Probably Jesus told them where he would be going. But the other disciples were not very good in retaining those small information. So Philip knew that Andrew is that guy who is good in this kind of information. So he went to see him, and then both of them took the group of Greeks to see Jesus. Now from these 3 passages we see the man called Andrew. And we see that he's used in some ways in leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? In John chapter 1, he led his brother to Christ. In John chapter 6, he took that lad to the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 12, he took the Greeks to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, directly or indirectly, he was bringing the gospel in that sense to these people. Okay, so from here we can see that the work of the preaching of the gospel can be done by anyone. Okay. We all can do the work of preaching the gospel. And you may say, I'm just a little child. What can I do? I want to share with you a story of a little girl about 5 or 6 years old. Yeah. She used to go home and tell the grandma, "Grandma, in church I learned these songs. I want to sing to you." Okay? And she sang. She sang those children songs she learned from Sunday school. And grandma would listen. Okay. Nothing happened for a long time. I can't remember how long. This is a true story. I don't know how long. But one day, the child was very ill. And the child said this to grandma. "Believe in Jesus Christ." The grandma trusted the Lord. And then, sometime later, the grandmother shared in church that it was through her granddaughter she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. That little child who sang to her almost every day. The little girl did not preach a gospel message. Probably she doesn't know how. But the gospel message is relayed to the grandmother. And eventually, the elderly lady, or maybe not so elderly, because if the girl is 5 to 6, that grandmother trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a little child leading someone to Christ. It is possible. And it happens in many, many families. The question I want to ask is, are we trying to do something to promote the gospel? If friends started to ask you, "Why you go to church on Sunday?" That's a good opportunity to preach the gospel, you know? Yeah. Be sensitive to the many opportunities God has given to us. And He is going to use us to lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. So who can preach the gospel? My answer is anyone. Okay. Now, the next question is, how to share the gospel? How do we share the gospel? Now, before that, we want to know a little bit of what missiologists have found out in the work of mission. Missiologists are people who study missions. Like we do support a mission work in Africa, right? I mean, not directly, but indirectly, we're helping. We're receiving prayer letters. Okay, so missiologists are people who study the opportunity for missionaries to go to these certain places to start a gospel work. Okay. So missiologists say this, 20% of Christians invite other Christians to church. You get that? 20% of Christians invite other Christians to church. Only 2% Christians invite non-Christians to church. So that number is very small. Now I know it's easy. Okay, if there's a Christmas program here, we tell other Christians, "Come, you know, my church has a Christmas celebration." It's easy. But to invite someone who is not a Christian, it can be challenging. But can we be that number that would invite people to come? And I'm talking about inviting unbelievers. No, we need to. Is there an opportunity? I hope we do it. Right. We do it because we want to see our friends, our family members coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So how can we preach the gospel? I want to lay some condition. Number one, we must first be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you remember Andrew led his brother to Christ, but he first became a disciple. And we knew it because we were told that he and the other disciples followed Christ. So they became disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, unless we have become a disciples of Christ, we will not have that compulsion to want to preach the gospel. In other words, we'll just be ordinary Christian, happy with our lives, happy with coming to church on Sunday. But once you are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll feel that compulsion. I must go and share the gospel. That's why the Great Commission, as I've emphasized the last 2 weeks in the morning service, is go and make disciples of all nations. What is a believer? A believer is one who believes in the teaching of the Bible. So if you believe in the teaching of the Bible, you are a believer. Who is a disciple? He's one who believes and obeys the teaching of the Bible. So a disciple is one who will obey, who will do what the Bible teaches. So that is the first condition. Secondly, we must obey the commandment. In verses 40 to 41 of John chapter 1, the Bible says, one of the two which heard John speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He then findeth his own brother, and calleth unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is interpreted the Christ. So, Andrew went to find his brother. He went. Remember, the Great Commission is go. Alright? And then bring him to Jesus. So go and then make disciples. Even before the Great Commission is given, the disciples knew the mission on earth. And that is to bring the gospel to the lost and to make others a disciples of Jesus Christ. So when Andrew did his part in bringing his brother, he did it in obedience to the instruction given by the Lord Jesus. Now, he was just a new follower of Christ, right? But he would have heard from John the Baptist the teaching, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would have some idea that Jesus came to be the Messiah, to save the world. And as disciples, we have to do the same. Of course, not to die, but to preach the gospel. Right? The third condition. We must share the gospel and lead others to Jesus Christ. Now, it's that simple. Share it and lead them to Jesus Christ. It is said that missionaries go and preach the gospel. But we are Christians. We don't go overseas to become missionaries. What do Christians do? Someone says, we are bringers. We bring people. Okay? But remember, whether you bring people or you are missionary, you still have to go out, right? Because in order to have people come into the church, you have to go out and bring them in. So, Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6 says this, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So if you go and you sow in tears, then the psalmist says you will reap in joy. That's the promise. See, if we don't go and we don't sow in tears, we'll never experience the joy of winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope all of us have that experience. When you lead someone to Jesus Christ, when I first led someone to Christ, I was so happy. Happy for many days. Though that time I did not have that conviction that I'm reaching him so that he will be spared from the eternal punishment. I preached to him because I want him to know Jesus Christ. But there was this joy. So, do not forfeit the joy. Go and do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question again is this: do we care enough for their salvation? And let me underscore again, our family members, they're so close to us, so dear to us. Don't you want them to be saved? So we come to the last question now. What is to be an Andrew? Now, Andrew was not a prominent disciple. Right? You know that he was unlike his brother Peter. Peter was a leader in a church in the New Testament. In fact, after Acts chapter 1, his name faded. Because after Acts chapter 1 and the rest of the New Testament, nothing is mentioned about Andrew. His name just faded. Okay, we do not know the reason. But when we see Andrew, we will know. We'll see him in heaven. But you notice about this man, okay? He did what he had to do as a disciple and a believer. In other words, he has never been bothered by whether I will become a leader in a New Testament church. Okay. He was not bothered by the fact whether he will be sitting on the left or right of Jesus, you know, when they are in glory. Alright? I just do what I need to do as a disciple and a believer. Pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is Andrew. We say that he was a soul winner. Alright. And that's what we know about Andrew. Pointing people to Christ. And that is what I hope you and I can do. By pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's one last thing I want you to take note of him. Now he did not begrudge his role. Right? See, I do so much, but then no reward. Huh? How come my brother came after me, but he became so prominent in the New Testament church? No, he did not complain, begrudge the role that he has to take. Right? I believe he's just happy where he is, do what he had to do as a believer. And I think all of us should have that attitude. Right? We don't have to be preachers, elders or deacons of the church to do something great for God. Okay? In fact, we see that in reality, in many, many churches, the lay people, the people who are like you sitting on the pew, who actually did a lot for the church. If you read about great revivals, you know that many a time revival started because there were groups of people behind the pulpit praying. And that is the power to revival. And we need Christians who are dedicated, who will give their life to serving the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. So are you willing? Now we conclude today's this afternoon's message. So the title is Be an Andrew. So we know who Andrew is. We know what he did. And we know him as a person, though not in detail, but as much as the Bible has given to us, we know that he is a great disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So may we learn from him and then do our part in church, in our family, in our workplace, in our school. And then one day when we see the Lord, we'll be found faithful servants. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the life of Andrew. And we see that though he was not very significant in the early church, but we see that he did some very significant evangelistic work. First, by bringing his own brother Peter to you. Lord, help us. We want to reach our own loved ones, our brothers, sisters, father, mother, niece, nephew. Lord, I pray that you will make us effective in reaching our own family for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.